I'm so thankful for Tim and Mark praying for me this morning. No pressure on me to make sure it's in truth and make sure, obviously, that I do it right. But I'm really thankful for, seriously, the prayers and this congregation praying for one another. I'm going to adjust my microphone here. It is good to be with you, and I appreciate those who are visiting with us, and I really, really hope today's lesson will be encouragement to you, as it hopefully has been myself. I'm thinking of some things about the past. Sometimes it's even about the current, and even about the future aspects of some pain that we have felt in our lives. Truthfully, we don't want to think about the pain from the past. In reality, the pain that we currently go through, we want to get rid of. And we really hope that the pain we have today doesn't continue on until tomorrow and into the future. And although we have experienced pain in different ways, sometimes the physical pain of it, we don't feel anymore. When I was a kid, I used to ride my bike, and as I got close to school, I would lift one leg over to the other side and both feet would be on one pedal, kind of ghost riding it in. And somehow, some way, I fell off, scraped my knee. It was all red and bloody, and I had to go to the nurse and put a big Band-Aid on it, and took several weeks to heal. But there's still a scar today. That was a long time ago. And although the pain that we feel sometimes from one another, our own sins, sometimes scars still remain. We can cover them up with clothing, or we can cover them up by doing different tasks, keeping ourselves busy. Some try to cover up pain with drugs and alcohol or some other thing to take their mind off of those things. Some of us, we get away from work pain. We go on vacation. Your last day of vacation is the worst. Why? Because you have to come back tomorrow, right? The reality is that sometimes, as much as we desire to get rid of those scars, even sometimes we can't. And as we can ignore them for many days, many months, many years, all of a sudden something digs it back up. Something you heard, something you experienced, something you saw, it's there all over again. And reality is, as long as there is sin in this world, and as long as we are here, we will endure pain. We will endure physical pain, we will endure emotional pain, and we will endure some spiritual pain as well. Just because we're trying to be right. Or others are afflicting us even though we are righteous. Sometimes it's just there. We are not immune to this fact. We know from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We know that Adam and Eve obviously disobeyed God. And from that moment, in reality, pain has been in the world. Spiritual pain, in a sense, emotional pain, physical pain. And there will always be those things. And you're probably saying, Kevin, well, this is not very encouraging this morning. But I want us to bring to reality. Because every one of us has gone through something, or is currently going through something, or will go through something that causes pain. And although, again, the physical pain that we go through, we can go and see a doctor and be healed, but the things that happen to us emotionally, no one can get rid of for us. As much as We hug one another and encourage one another and pray for one another. And those things help us tremendously. They seriously do. They really help us. At the end of the day, sometimes it's still there, my heart. I have lost some people in my life very close to me. And all the comfort that has surrounded me over the years has been there, but I still hold a picture and I still shed a tear. And I always will. And it's not so much from pain of affliction, it's pain from love. And that's another avenue that we experience sometimes, that we pour out our hearts so much to people, and one way they may not love us back. Or we pour out our hearts so much in loving people that it's just an enjoyment, it's joy, but it still fills deep in our hearts. And then when we lose that person, it's the worst thing that ever happened to us. And we experience those things while we're still here. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 33, when Jacob finished charging his sons, he drew his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. In chapter 15, verse 1, then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. Not only do we have the spiritual pain that we go through that we have to toil in this life, we have the emotional pains that we go through by several things in this world. Political things that we can't control. Work things that we just can't get right. People challenges that we have wherever we go, they're just there. And we have the pain of sorrow. And then the other side of that coin is we desire so much to go to heaven, we're not there yet. And we desire so much to be there today, but we're not there yet. And I don't know when that day is going to come. All I know is it's too far away. It ain't soon enough. Because I still have to feel this way every day of my life. And as people feel that certain way, one of the number one things they think of is that, does God care? And they question God sometimes and say, God, I pray to you immensely to help me with this whatever it is I'm going through. Whatever this pain that I'm feeling, God, take it away. At least suppress it and comfort it. And God, I just don't feel that you're there. I don't feel that you care. I don't feel that you're listening to me. And you have done nothing for my life. A lot of people feel that way. A lot of people who don't know the Word of His love and of His promises, of His encouragement, of His future hope. More importantly, they have no recollection or remembrance of what Jesus already has done, let alone what He will do. And so in their despair, they get sad and they get depressed and they say, God, I don't want to feel this way anymore and I need your help. But they still feel this way inside. And they don't find a sense of relief, so they turn to other avenues or other things. Some of us may feel like Psalm 42 and verse 1 through 5. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. And we toil all day long with our inner soul. Why do I feel this way? I don't want to feel this way. I wake up today and the sun is shining. I open up my Bible and I read His Word. And I bow before God and I pray to Him for this strength and encouragement. And I get up and I go out to conquer life. It's not as joyful sometimes as I wanted it to be. Life happens. People happen. The world happens. These things happen. And as they happen, unfortunately, there is sin in the world. There's pain in the world. And so in despair, my soul toils with those things. Because my soul hopes in God. It praises God. It's today worshiping God. It believes in God, I have hope in God, and I will be with God one day in heaven. But man, I can't get this out of my heart. And I don't want to keep feeling this sense of despair and this hopelessness and this pain that I'm going through. I do want to have victory in Jesus. And I want to feel it every day of my life. But there's then some things that just won't let me do that. And again, some people may say, well, I just don't understand. I just don't understand why is it these things happen to me. I don't understand why I'm trying to do everything good that all of a sudden that it something else bad happens and something else bad happens. And again, they start asking God for more help and they question God, where are you and why are these things right? And that's the thing that they toil with in their heart. I want to encourage us today to know and to remember that Jesus Christ does hear you. That Jesus Christ does care for you. To the point that Jesus Christ loves you to the point of death on the cross, that He has done something for you. And as we might say that, God, where are you? What have you done for me? I want us to remember what Jesus has done for us. Because in the same breath that people have, they say, well, God doesn't know because He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand because He's never gone through those things. In Hebrews 4, verse 15 through 16, says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. That is our hope. And that's our comfort because Jesus understands. He knows. When He came here on earth, He was tempted in all things as we are. There's nothing that He didn't experience that we haven't experienced, yet He was sinless. Folks, that is our hope. It was because He was sinless through the things that He was tempted that brings us to the victory of getting over and through and healing of the things that we're going through. Somebody might well argue the concept, okay, well, He was tempted in things. He was God, right? But He was a man and He was tempted. But He was tempted in those things, Kevin. But Kevin, what He may not have had was is this sorrow and despair and this pain. He doesn't know what that's like. Okay, yeah, He was tempted in all things as we are. He was God. He conquered those things. And that's amazing and that's great. Because then He could be the ultimate high priest, our Savior, the perfect spotless lamb, you know, our sacrifice. And that's okay. But you might say, well, God doesn't understand. When something does something to me, it hurts me. He doesn't understand the pain that I feel from emotions, from marital spouse issues, from children issues, from world issues, from work issues, from things when you lose somebody, from the passing of a loved one. Jesus doesn't know that. He has no idea what that feels like. And because of that, how does He sympathize with me? How does He understand how I feel to the point that He can come and assist me and help me today? Or even to the value that does He hear me and care about my feelings and my heart today? In Luke chapter 7, I want you to notice this event that took place here. In Luke 7, verse 12 through 16, now as He approached the gate of the city, this being Jesus, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. In verse 13, when the Lord saw her, He felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. And He came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And He said, young man, I say to you, arise. The dead man sat up, began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped them all. And they began glorifying God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited His people. Jesus saw a widow, this woman, widow, no husband. Her only single child was dead, being carried in a coffin with a crowd. This lonely woman, all by herself, with nothing anymore in life, of all the crowd that was there, of all the things that were going on, Jesus stops what he's doing to address this woman. He knows the woman's pain in her heart. That's why he says, "Stop weeping. I've got this." And what does he do? He walks up to this coffin and he touches the coffin, and the boy comes up and he begins to speak. He heals him. He raises him. I don't think that this was a sole case of showing Jesus' resurrection power. It did. But it's a sole case of Jesus saying, who is this woman? What does she matter? Jesus loves, Jesus cares. It demonstrates his compassion. That out of the multitude that he hears this woman's cries, he addresses this woman's cries, and he heals this man. And what does the crowd see? The crowd sees, obviously, his healing power, but the crowd sees Jesus' compassion. And I could bring a multitude of scriptures this morning and keep you for the next 3 hours, I won't, and show you compassion after compassion after compassion that have been of Jesus Christ. But this one hits home. Because again, when we go through the pain that we go through from somebody else, what about the pain that I have in my heart when I lose somebody? Jesus knows and Jesus cares. I want us to bring us to John chapter 11, that which Bill brought forth to us the other day. I'm going to take this in a different angle, but I am going to recap just a little bit, so forgive me. In John chapter 11, in verse 3 through 5, here we have Mary, Martha, their brother Lazarus is sick. They send for Jesus. In verse 3, so the sisters, Mary and Martha here, send word to him saying, "Lord, behold, him whom you love is sick." Again, that's Lazarus. But when Jesus heard this, he said, "The sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Did you catch that last part? Jesus, we need you. We're going to send for you. Our brother Lazarus is sick. Come and heal him. Please. They love Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They love Jesus. Concurrently, Jesus loved them. It wasn't that Jesus said, "Okay, well, I'm going to go make another show again, or I'm going to heal somebody and just prove to them that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God." He's going to do this that the glory of God is demonstrated, that glory being God's love and his compassion. Yes, he is the resurrection and the life. But don't miss this. When Jesus does something, it's not just one thing that he does. His whole agenda in these events isn't just, "Okay, I'm just going to show them one thing here," and just to one person. He's going to demonstrate a multitude of things about himself to a multitude of people. And he does that in this event here. Jesus' love is for them. Mary, Martha, her sister, Lazarus, his love for them. Now, Jesus is going to demonstrate to his disciples here. They say, "Well, wait a minute, he's just asleep, okay? Let's, you know, no big deal, he'll wake up." Jesus is like, "Look, you guys." He tells them blatantly, "Lazarus is dead. We purposely waited 2 days on purpose so the glory of God would be shown. But at this point, when they finally didn't get it, Jesus says, he's dead, okay? Then we're going to go and we're going to get into the city." In verse 17 of John 11, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews who had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she had heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha then said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Now, I want us to notice here a couple things. In verse 19, I've highlighted specifically, the Jews had come to console them, as we do. Family member dies, okay, we're going to go and we're going to go to the viewing of the funeral. We're going to come before, obviously, those things, and even after those things. And we're going to console the family. The people around Mary and Martha are going to come around and console them because their brother has died. They're pouring out their love for them, obviously. But what does Martha say to Jesus? "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." In a sense, she's recognizing who he is and his power, right? Yes? That you could have stopped him from dying. I almost take this sometimes as we in life. Look, Jesus, if you had intercessioned here, or if you had listened the first time I asked you, these things wouldn't have happened. And sometimes we illustrate not only our doubt, but we're questioning, Jesus, do you really care? And that's what she was saying here. Jesus, do you really care? I knew you had the power and the ability. But do you care? Obviously you didn't. You waited 2 extra days. Now it's 4 days. He's really dead now. But I know, Jesus, if you had been here, he would have not died. And in verse 22, now even though I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him in verse 24, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I like what she says here in verse 22. Look, if you would have been here, he would have died. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. But I know. I know that whatever you ask God, he'll listen to you and he will give you that which you've asked for. Jesus throws this back on her in a sense. He says, your brother will rise. Yeah, I know he'll rise in the last day here. She doesn't recognize here that there's an opportunity today. Yes, God, I know. All right, I'll go through these things in my life. And I know in the end, when we finally go to heaven, it'll all be over with. Okay, I guess I'll endure it now. But you had opportunity back then to do something, but you didn't. She can't see the glory of God. She doesn't understand what Jesus is trying to do here to her. He's trying to put it back on her. Just wait a second here. I know you don't understand when you ask for these things. And I know you're an impatient because of your love for someone. But just wait. Because not only am I not going to show you how much I love you over here before he died, I'm going to show you how much I love you right after he dies. And he's going to make a point. In John chapter 11 and verse 27, this is now Mary coming on scene. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe. I'm sorry, actually I'm going to finish my context. This is still Martha here. She said yes to him, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. So again, she has this understanding as we would. Jesus, we believe in you, we know who you are. But in verse 32, therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said the same thing that Martha said. She posed the same question to him. I know you could have done this. If you had loved us as much as you say, you would have came here, you would have done this. Right? Verse 33, but when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. The greatest verse in our entire Bible almost is verse 35. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. In the beginning, Jesus, you could have came here, you could have done this. He knows that. They know that. It strikes me for just a moment because Jesus could have said, hey, what are you guys doing? Stop. I got this. You asked. I delayed, yes, but I did it for a reason. Just watch. Hold on a second here. And there should be a celebration and it should be a joy. Get out all the party supplies. Go kill the fattened calf. We're going to have a party here. Just wait just a moment here. It doesn't happen. Jesus could have stopped all this procession for just a moment and said, why are you guys crying? Stop. Says, I got this. We're going to raise him from the dead, and we're going to joy, and we're going to sing, and it's going to be amazing here. But no. He observes the women. He observes the crowd. He observes the compassion and the love that they have for their brother who is lost. He understands their pain that he feels, and he observes all this, and he himself weeps. Jesus feels what you feel. Jesus has felt, how you felt. But notice something else. In verse 36, when the Jews were saying, see how he loved him, they thought that Jesus was crying for Lazarus. As they were mourning the loss of Lazarus. He's died, okay, 4 days later. Jesus is going to come to the tomb. He's going to pay his respects. He's going to stand there and he's going to cry with them over the death of Lazarus. He's not crying for Lazarus. He's crying for the pain that the women and the crowd were feeling at that moment. And he's not crying because he caused that by delaying. He's crying because they didn't believe. They didn't understand in their love for one another. Same thing, just wait. Same thing happens on the cross when Jesus was up there. He was weeping for them. The pain that he felt that was for them. And so in verse 38, so Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that what you have heard, I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with the wrappings, and his face was unwrapped, was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. This setting to me is one of the most amazing settings that's ever occurred in the Bible. Jesus is deeply moved. And he says, roll the stone. I think about this man coming before this gravesite, this cave, this stone, and just standing there with all this authority, right? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the man. And I can see him after he's been moved, after he had been weeping, after he was feeling this compassion and this sorrow for the people, that he walks up to this cave and he stands there and he says, move the stone. And the people say, wait a minute, here it is. In 4 days, there's a stench going on. Didn't I say to you that if you believe? And he goes and he prays to his Father to the point that they could hear. Now remember, Mary and Martha did what in the very beginning? They sent for Jesus. You could say they prayed to Jesus. They sent for Jesus, come and healed him. And they say, Jesus, we know that whatever you ask the Father will give you. Jesus is pointing back to her, whatever you ask the Father, he will give you. Just wait. Didn't I tell you that you will see the glory of God? You ask, you shall receive. They thought, Jesus, you have the power to do this. Jesus is basically putting it back to them. No, you have the power to do this. You came and asked me. I came in my own time so that the glory of God will be shown. And guess what I'm about to do based on your faith? Just wait. And he does. And he says, roll the stone. They doubted for a minute. They questioned. Jesus prayed on behalf. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. By the authority, by the word of Jesus Christ, he said, come forth, and he healed this man. He arose. We pray to Jesus, God Christ, to forgive our sins. We come before, we are baptized in his name. Sometimes we doubt, sometimes we question, and he goes upon the cross and he dies for our sins. He raises again 3 days later. He sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. And one day, Jesus Christ will come again, and he will say, come. He will come back on His second coming, and it will be the perfect time so that the glory of God will be demonstrated, and by His word, by His authority, we will be with Him. We will raise up. Because He is the resurrection and the life. And He makes that valid point to these people. And He makes that valid point to ourselves. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about your life. The pain that we go through and the pain that we feel, just wait. Just wait. There are things in life that we cannot control. There are things in life we cannot change. No, we can't. But don't ever question or doubt the fact that Jesus Christ knows, He feels, He loves you. And real quickly, I'm going to show you how. Luke 22, verse 39. And He came out and proceeded, as was custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed Him. When He had arrived at the place, this is being the Garden of Gethsemane, He said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me. Yet not My will, but Yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to Him, strengthening Him. And being in agony, He was praying very fervently, and His sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When He rose from prayer, He came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Oftentimes I read about this, that Jesus went to the garden, He went to pray, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from Me." Yes, the sweat that He had was like drops of blood, because Jesus knew exactly the punishment that He was about to take on the cross, and no man would ever want to do that. There is fact to that statement, but I don't believe that was all of it. When Jesus was praying, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from Me," He knew that He had to be the one to do it, absolutely. But the reason I think that, the ultimate reason, I agree with that other statement, the ultimate reason I think that why He was in such pain and agony had nothing to do with Him. Had nothing to do with the beating He was about ready to go to. He knew He had to do it, and He was going to do it. But three times, He found His most trusted Peter, James, and John over here sleeping. Three times. And said, "Can't you keep watch for 1 hour? Keep praying. Keep praying." I think in the end that Jesus knew that He was about ready to leave them. One's going to deny Him. One's going to betray Him. They're all going to scatter. And that when Jesus leaves this earth, they're alone. Yes, He gives them the Holy Spirit. Yes, He's given them everything that they need to conquer. But He's leaving them. He's still gone today. I think the agony that He was feeling was a sorrow, is that here we are today, going through the things that we're going through. And that He has given us everything that we need to do it, but we still struggle. We still have challenges in life. We still give in to the sin in life. Jesus' agony and prayer in John chapter 17 was what? That Jesus prayed for us. That we would be in Him, that He would be in the Father, and that we would be one, that we would be together. Jesus, I believe in this standpoint, was not just praying for Himself on this behalf. It was also for us. And the agony that He feels for us. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, when Jesus was up on the cross after He has been beaten to death, almost to the point of death, He was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." As Bill alluded to, and again, He was praying for us as well. His sorrow that He felt wasn't just the physical pain that He went through. He loves us, folks. Jesus Christ loves us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall inherit eternal life. He loves us. And for some people in the world say, "God doesn't hear me. He doesn't know. He doesn't feel. He doesn't care. He hasn't done everything." He has done everything. He died on the cross. Because the pain that we go through today, the sin that we give in today, everything that we hear, He's our physician. He's our healer. It pains him to know that we're going through these things that we haven't conquered, that we can't seem to conquer, or that we feel this pain inside. The most joyous thing about our God is that He loves us because He knows He can take it away one day, and He will. But do we believe? But do we trust? Do we hope in Him? And as a man dying upon the cross after we beat him said, "Forgive them. Forgive them." The pain and the sorrow that I know our Savior felt was for us. It wasn't just He took our physical beatings. He absorbed the emotional, spiritual, and the pain that we have in our hearts. In John 19 and verse 30, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit." What did Jesus finish? Yes, the plan of redemption, absolutely, installing a new covenant, better hopes, better promises, that we would partake of it as we did this morning, that we would be baptized, that we would be have our sins remissed by His blood, absolutely. But that He would also heal us and redeem us back to a state of holiness and purity to be with Him in heaven for all eternity. A couple of scriptures in closing this morning. Thank you for their time and attention. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believe, therefore I spoke.' We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that He who is raised, the Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And He said, 'Write, for these things are faithful and true.'" And lastly, in the lesson be yours, in John 14, my favorite verse. Verse 1 through 4. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Brethren, I hope this lesson has been encouragement to you. As I know, again, we all have pain. From different avenues, past, present, future, whatever it be. Jesus Christ knows. And He cares. To the point that Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross for us. And it is what He has done forth in the past sets forth what He will do in the future, as we just read. And my prayer, my hope, is that you truly, and even as you go through the circumstances that you go in this life, that you truly believe those things. Your belief starts with a commitment to Jesus Christ to repent of your sins, to confess your sins before Him, to be baptized for the remission of those sins, and rise up a new creature. Walk in the newness of life, trust Him, believe on Him, hope on Him, and be patient. For one day He truly will be here. He truly will redeem us. And folks, for all eternity, we will be with Him in heaven. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And the invitation is for you to come forward today as we stand and sing.